Good morning and welcome back to the Friday Morning Sports Show. This is WDOT, Port Washington Studios. You're on the dot. I'm Mikey.
And I'm David.
We're missing Sam today, but thank you all for tuning in. The program you're listening to may contain language or material that could be considered offensive. The views expressed are those of the DJ and not necessarily those of WDOT or other WDOT station members. We therefore advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen.
Now for a quick promo, newspaper is always looking for new writers, so if you are interested, you know, you can find anyone on staff and let them know you want to write. Of course, it is optional and nothing is forced.
And a quick PSA, children are not born violent, violence is learned, and according to Adults and Children Together Against Violence, this learned behavior has often taken root before age 8. Knowing that it is becoming increasingly difficult to prevent a child from being exposed to violence through media and outside the home, the campaign reminds that the earliest and strongest influencers of children are parents, caregivers, and teachers. This has been a PSA from the Ad Council.
All right, Mike, you've got a big weekend coming up next weekend because it is the Super Bowl. And we discussed playoffs briefly with Sam here, but I feel like we haven't really gone in-depth to Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, the meeting of the Super Bowl. So I want to ask you, Mikey, is this the most, like, there are rumors that this is the most anticipated Super Bowl of all time. And I'm going to say no to that.
No.
Because it's the first, you know, matchup with two black quarterbacks starting, which is great for football. I got to ask you, Mikey, which team has the upper hand here?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Chiefs. I feel like they have the experience. I know the Eagles have also been there, but, you know, the Chiefs' main core, aside from Tyreek Hill, has pretty much been around the same. And I think that in a matchup between Hurts and Mahomes, I think Hurts just hasn't had to work too hard these playoffs, and I think Mahomes has. And I think when the lights shine brightest, Mahomes will come out on top. That's my prediction.
I understand what you're saying because I completely agree that Mahomes has had more pressure throughout the games than Hurts has. You know, Hurts' defense has definitely played a bigger role. But I think him having a great defense is really affecting his gameplay, and that's going to make his life easier again. So let's say Patrick Mahomes is better under pressure, sure, but what if Jalen Hurts doesn't get that pressure and he just plays easily? Because, you know, I'd argue that the Eagles defense is much better than the Chiefs defense. So if the Eagles defense can, you know, put pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and then the Eagles offense gets to take over with time of possession and play their own offense, they should be fine, I think, because I think the Eagles are an overall better team. But I would say Patrick Mahomes is a better overall quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I think something for me that I'm looking out for is the Chiefs' run D has been pretty solid recently. And I think that the Chiefs are going to have to make Jalen Hurts work, make him throw the ball. I know Jalen Hurts, as good of a quarterback as he is, he often resorts to just running the ball and taking it himself. But I think if you're the Chiefs, you got to make sure that he's out of his comfort zone throughout the game and just establish the momentum early on. And for me, the X factor is Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, you can't shy away from him if you're the Eagles. You got to mark him. But I also got to say, Chris Jones has been absolutely phenomenal on the defensive end for the Chiefs. He had his first career sack, but he had multiple sacks the last game against the Bengals in a game that the Chiefs... It was very, very close, but ultimately they were able to come out the win. If you're the Chiefs, are you concerned by how the end of that game went, even though they came out on top?
I think it raised a little bit of level of concern, but also I think you got 2 weeks to fix that. Look back on the tape, and I think for a team like the Chiefs and with the coaching staff led by Andy Reid, I think that the Chiefs should be able to figure that problem out.
100%. Let's talk about, what do you want to talk about?
Well, so wait, so you picking the Chiefs or the Eagles?
I'm picking the Eagles.
You're picking the Eagles, okay. That's fair. I think it'll be close, though. I can't see this being a blowout on either side. And I think this is the thing. I think the Eagles have kind of had two back-to-back blowouts. They've been pretty comfortable the whole game, so it's going to be interesting to see. You see how Jalen Hurts and crew...
Well, I think the thing is that it's not like the Eagles don't know the Chiefs are a powerhouse. They're just going to come and knock them out. They know what they're going up against. You know, a really good offense and a solid defense as of late.
Yeah.
And they know that.
But so they haven't had real game...
As of now, yes.
Yeah. Practice for that so far. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be good. And like you said before, it's a historic Super Bowl and should be a good one. But no, I don't think it's the most anticipated.
I agree. Now, what do we want to segue into here?
Well, I mean, I think we just got to... We don't need to touch on this for too long, but we just got to mention Tom Brady, the GOAT of football, finally announcing his retirement. The script is over. It's reached its last chapter. Do you have anything you would like to add about Tom Brady's career?
You know, I know he said it's for good. You never know for sure.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You know, taking this as it is, his final goodbye. Yeah, he was a legend of the game that he should be respected by all. Hated him when he was on the Patriots, but then when you look back on it now that he was on the Buccaneers, like, you just got to respect greatness.
Yeah, 100%.
And at the end of the day, he was great. So,
100%.
Cheers to him.
Yeah, cheers to him. Best to ever do it. Best. Yeah, I don't know.
Best of luck in retirement.
Yeah, he's got a big Fox deal waiting for him.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. There are some players that, you know, I've mentioned this to some people, I really don't think are fit for a broadcast booth.
I agree.
It's just so easy to get a profession there you have a big name. Like, I think Tony Romo is genuinely good.
He's gotten good.
People don't like him, but I do like him. Greg Olsen's done a phenomenal job, I think. But there are some players that just try to go into the booth, and they are absolutely horrible.
Terrible.
And just because of their big name and their, you know, previous athletic career, you know, you give them a contract that could be worth millions, and it's just not worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like if Brady wants to broadcast, I think he should just wait a little bit because, you know, turn it down. I thought I was too loud. I think he could wait a little bit. He's had a very turbulent year with his family, so I think for him, I'm not gonna touch on this really because this is totally his personal life. But it would just, for me, it just wouldn't make the most sense for him to take a 10-year deal with Fox, for example, instead of just going and sorting out things with his kids and the ex-wife.
Yeah, I understand. I just don't think. I mean, Tom Brady's got a good personality, I guess, but like, what is so special about him that you want him in the booth for 10 years? I don't really see it. But I mean, if I'm Fox, I understand it. It's Tom Brady calling every few games. It's like, oh yeah, this is what people are going to tune in for. They're going to listen to the greatest quarterback of all time commentate because he's got
right.
You know, there's wisdom about the game because he's played quarterback for 20-something years. But you know, if Tom Brady can't, you know, get his commentating to flow and whatever, then it's just gonna be boring and just maybe ruin his reputation, which I don't think it will. But if he's horrible,
yeah,
and that's
I
just
agree.
Terrible for Brady and his name.
You see, that's the thing I was thinking about the other day. Like when you look at MJ, who's regarded as the greatest, I mean, at least in my eyes, the greatest basketball player to ever live. I know LeBron's getting up there and close, but like,
yeah.
If you look at MJ, I know he owns the Hornets, but he's pretty much stayed out of like the NBA eye, and I think that's been the best thing. I think like his legacy is solely remembered off of the Bulls. Like there's no negative headlines around him. Like obviously you could find anything here or there with the Last Dance. Like people had some things
with the betting.
Yeah, the betting with negative things to say. But like he's just taken such a step back from the game, and I feel like you can't focus on anything other than his playing career. So I think for a great player like Tom Brady, and I wonder how it's gonna go on for Messi and Ronaldo.
Well, the thing with that is people are always like who'd be a better coach, and I think it'd be Ronaldo 100% because I feel like Ronaldo's, and I'm not gonna say Messi's not vocal, I feel like Ronaldo's more like in tune with his teammates.
Yeah, I agree.
And like you saw it during the Euros when he was helping coach after he was injured. But I feel like Ronaldo's a guy you wouldn't want to shy away from the game because he's done so much. He's like one of the most recognized, if not the most recognizable athlete in all of the world. So to have him walk away from the game entirely once he retires, I don't know if that's best for him. I feel like I could see him coaching. But
yeah,
that's
true.
I feel like I can't see Messi coaching.
Yeah, I could see Messi just like chilling on his island or whatever.
Which is 100%.
Yeah,
you know
that's,
what I
that's
would
more.
Do.
Yeah, that's more in tune with him. Have you been following college basketball or not really? We could talk about it, something else. We'll wait till March.
I haven't really. You know, I always do a little update before March unless I'm really into the season. But this season, I haven't really been that into it.
That's fair. Just quick news in the NBA. I think yesterday the All-Star reserves were released. Did you get a chance to look at that list?
Yeah, briefly.
You have anything?
Harden snub, Brunson snub.
Yeah, I agree. See, I don't like the Jrue Holiday pick. I know that he's always good defensively.
I don't like the Tyrese Haliburton pick.
Me neither. I think that the Pacers are now. I think the reason why Haliburton got in was because he's just like his playmaking is just off the charts. Like it's just getting so much better. Like it feels like almost every month. But also, I think for a lot of the season so far, the Pacers were in that top 7-8 in the standings. But now they're on a total. They went off the cliff like everyone expected them to. They're now hovering around the 12th seed. So it's just a little frustrating when you look at James Harden, who is the reason. I'm not saying the only reason, but you know he's one of the biggest reasons. I mean, 12 assists a game.
Yeah.
That the Sixers are the 2 seed, and same with Jalen Brunson. The Knicks are the 7 seed, and they're in a lot better spot than they were last year. He's been their best free agent acquisition in how many years?
Yeah.
You can't even say. So those are the two guys that I'm frustrated with, but it is what it is.
I would say this: when you look at the grand scheme of it, you say, "Oh yeah, 2 Knicks are going to make the All-Star game." You'd say, "Really, 2 Knicks? Like that doesn't make sense." But then individually, like. Brunson 100% deserves it, and Randall also deserves it. You can't look at it and be like, oh, you can't have 2 Knicks in the All-Star game. Like, they're not a great team. You don't want that. But really, they deserve it. And I feel like the All-Star game is, it's not become, like, it's never anywhere going to be close to the Pro Bowl, but
no.
You're going to have snubs at the end of the day.
Of course.
And it's horrible,
yeah.
But I don't, like, you know, people actually compare All-Star games, like, oh, MJ had 17 All-Star games versus LeBron's 20. But at the end of the day, if you look back on this and said, oh, Harden had one less All-Star game than a legend, you can be. You got to be like, well, wait, you got to look at this year when he was averaging these numbers and still didn't get in over some rookie who played well for a few games. Like, you can't look at that. Not rookie, sorry. But
No, I think what Halliburton's in his third year, I think. Yeah, anyway, I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think that every year there's going to be those people that get snubbed. So, and every year there's going to be this discussion, like, who got snubbed? Yeah, why did he get snubbed? But reality is, there's not that many spots. And also, like, we have to remember, like, a lot of these, especially the past 3 years, like, a lot of players have just not played or they've gotten hurt before the game. And, like, before we know it, Jalen Brunson's the first guy in after. But I think in terms of, like you said, it's hard for the Knicks to have two All-Stars. I genuinely agree with that. I think, A, there's, like, still this bias, like, against the Knicks. I feel like the media and probably the league doesn't give the Knicks their respect just because if you look at them in a long term, like, the past 10 years has just been a disaster.
100%.
One, two playoff appearances, Melo trade, if you look back at it, as much as we loved them. I mean, that drove them to mediocrity. Phil Jackson. But it's hard for a team that's a seventh seed to have two All-Stars, especially when none of those guys are superstars. So I kind of expected it, but it would have been nice to see Brunson.
The Knicks got the Nick. They did offer OG Anunoby for, like, 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Well, I'm glad the Raptors want young players instead of picks, because if I was the Raptors, I'd take that in 2 seconds.
Yeah, 100%.
And they were like, oh, we are not really interested in picks for Van Fleet and Anunoby. We'd rather young players in return.
You know what? I don't think that's the worst thing, because the Knicks just have all these guys that are fine.
But why would the Knicks ever want to trade, like, Quickly and Deuce and Obi? And
I would trade McBride for Anunoby.
Straight up, yeah, obviously.
And I would throw on top him a couple firsts.
Whoa. You would trade Obi, Deuce, and 2 firsts.
I don't think Obi and Deuce. I don't think Obi and Deuce have any value on our team long term. I think that they're, like, I think Obi's not good, and I think McBride, like, I mean, he's all right, but I just can't see him ever blossoming into anything. Whereas Anunoby is one of the best defenders in the league, and the Knicks have been struggling behind the arc from all season. But the thing that gets me every time is, like, we look at these trades, and it's like, OG Anunoby's worth 3 picks, and I'm like, all right, like, fine. Like first of all, I think that's too much. Like, giving up 3 picks. But, like, we got to remember, the Knicks had 8 firsts, and they could use that on Donovan Mitchell. So every time I think back to now, you're going to take almost half those picks out and give it to OG Anunoby. It just frustrates me. So I think that's me thinking too much in with respect to hindsight, but that's just how I feel. I can't justify 3 firsts. I would rather give up, like, Toppin, McBride, and a first.
It's just hard to look back on that whole fallout with Donovan Mitchell, because it's very, very sad.
It's terrible. What could have been. I just don't understand why it didn't go through. Like, he thought he was coming here, too. Like, I will never understand why Donovan Mitchell's not.
He would have been great for New York, because he's already a Mets fan, and his dad works within the organization.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been amazing. And for everyone saying, like, the Knicks' backcourt would have been too small, like, people remember the Jazz were making the playoffs, like, every year with, like, Conley and Mitchell, like, two also small guys. Like, and at the end of the day, Coach Tom Thibodeau, like, he's the coach. He prioritizes defense. Like, that's just what he does. You see, Brunson's already become a better defender. I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell would have become, like, all defense caliber, but he would have gotten better. So all these like, preconceived notions that people thought would happen with the Knicks if they got Donovan Mitchell, it's, like, just a slap in the face to what he is, in my opinion.
Yeah. You want to segue into, you know, everything that's going on with the transfer market before we end?
Yeah, I got to hear your thoughts about Chelsea. I just want you to freestyle real quick.
I mean, I don't know if it was net spending or total spending, but there was a recent report that Chelsea spent 666 million euros in this transfer, like, in the past, like, 6 months, I believe. And most recent being Enzo Fernandez for 130 million, which
that's
is just
crazy.
Absolutely absurd. I understand that he was the, you know, the World Cup young player of the tournament, but to give Enzo Fernandez 130 million, which isn't even the highest in Benfica's history, actually, because they sold João Félix for so much more to Atleti.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that you're giving Enzo Fernandez, who hasn't even proven himself yet, $130 million, along with, like, 20 other signings that are just replacing these injured, like stars. I really think, like, Reece James and Conte getting hurt, or Raheem Sterling and all these guys getting hurt is, like, it's very hurtful for this season. But you got to just, at some point, you got to give up on the season and just wait for the next one.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do when you have 45 guys signed in the next season?
Then they're going to
spend so much money.
Right. And then these guys they just signed are going to go back
on loan.
And you're
going to lose so much money in net spending because you're not going to be able to. It's like You know, Man City on that exact list.